everyone, it's Camilla from Menswear by a Woman podcast. Welcome to another episode. Right, so today's guest, I must say, today's guest, his collection, his brand, I've been following his journey from the day I started my Menswear by a Woman podcast. And he doesn't know this, but I have been following him. His brand is absolutely, well, his brand needs to be in Liberty's in London. Straight away, I have to say this. The brand is called Country Made. And I'm talking to the founder and the creative director and the designer of the brand, Shashant Obrai. I'm so sorry if I've got your surname wrong, Shashant. Apologies. How are you, Shashant? Good morning from, by the way, it's 9:15 in London. And we're doing this from, you're from India and I'm from London. So hopefully it will all go well with our Zoom internet.
For sure. Good morning, Sharmila, and thank you so much for such a heartwarming introduction. I don't think so we've been ever introduced to any portal like this before. Thank you so much. Means a lot.
Well, you know, your collection, your menswear, it's so different, but it's something that I think the whole of the world needs to see now. It's and I'm not saying that because, you know, out of the, I'm truly being honest, because the collection, what you're doing with your whole brand is amazing. It really is. And I want to congratulate you for that, because, you know, all of the textures, the cut, the fit, you've kind of got, you know, it takes a lot to think of all of this, and you're kind of developing your own fabrics. You know, it's special. It's something different. You know, that's what designers are about.
For sure. Thank you so much. And I would obviously, you know, credit this to my country, the home country that I come there, where I come from, India, is this place gives us immense opportunities to explore each and every aspect of clothing, as you rightly mentioned, be it making of your own fabrics, be it access to a lot of craftsmen around, be it experimenting with the age-old techniques that we might not have valued in the past much. Yeah. But this place, the people around give us so much energy, so much synergy that is there to kind of explore. And this is exactly what we're trying to do with the brand Country Made.
So Shashant, take me back. We would love to know how it all began with you. I mean, is this something that you've always wanted to do, like have your own brand? Or have you worked in the trade and said, I don't want to do this anymore, I want to start my own, you know?
Okay. So this is a long story. I would like to really mention here that I started Country Made not as a brand, but this was a part of a project that I'd made to apply for London College of Fashion.
Okay.
And just a part of the project, like the name. So my schooling got over in fashion in 2010, actually. So it's been like 13 years now out of fashion school.
Yeah.
I worked in the industry in India for a good 9.5-10 years before I started my journey independently.
Wow.
I started with, in India, we have this college placement kind of system wherein I got through an export house where I understood the export market, but I personally felt that I was not cut for it. So, you know, while switching jobs, I was really trying to kind of find the meaning as to what clicked with me was the surfaces, was the embroideries, what. And also a part of luxury, which I experienced with my third job, that was at Janvi. So Janvi is like a cashmere label from India, which supplies throughout the world. It's a global cashmere brand now. And plus, they at that point, they were developing and doing a lot of sampling for various European design houses. So that is where I got my first, you can say, touch with quality, luxury, and craftsmanship, where I understood what goes inside making something really valuable and something which is made with a lot of heart and soul, wherein the time bomb is not kicking on to kind of, you know, when there is no control over the costings, I can say like that.
Okay.
So over there, it was like a complete turnaround or a 360 degree view from the export brands that I was working before. Right. And I realized that the kind of finesse, so that was my first taste of luxury. At the same time, first taste of my first tryst with the, you can say, like the right, I won't say the right aesthetic, but a very niche aesthetic. And that is, I think, clicked with me and stayed with me for a long time. Then I got an opportunity to kind of explore the menswear side of the business in Kashmir. But because it was primarily an accessory brand, a shawl or a cashmere brand, I was like kind of limited with my exploration of cashmere within the brand. And that is where I kind of skipped and joined a very like reputed Indian designer label with Mr. Rohit Bal. I like spent good half a decade actually with him, exploring a lot of different things. Though he is one of the top couturiers in India,
yeah.
But the kind of embroideries, the kind of textures that I learned there, it was obviously definitely very ethnic, but at the same time it was done with such a contemporary approach,
yeah.
That every season or every collection that I produced with him was like, there was so much passion, there was so much legacy into everything that we were doing there. So like, I would say that I still look back on those days. I still look back at that design studio, and like, you know, whenever I feel low, I just kind of garner my energy from my previous, I would say, bosses, or you can say, you know, my gurus in the, or the mentors is the right word,
yeah,
for them,
yeah.
Like that. So that is where I was guided throughout. So like, as I told you, like very briefly about my 9, 10 years of being a part of the industry, working,
yeah,
as a designer.
Yeah, yeah.
That is when, you know, one fine day I just had a discussion with my brother, my elder brother, and he was in the forces. So we were both sitting together. We were just having a quick chat about my future like that, because, you know, because I won't say I was in my comfort zone at that point. But when you work with someone for 5 years, after that point, you feel that, okay, fine, what next for you as a challenge, you may say, like, you know, because after a certain point, you feel that, okay, fine, you've been there, done that, now what's next for you? So that is where he kind of pushed me to, okay, you were talking about Country Made, this, there were a pretty good Country Made was something I coined in 2015 2016 when I was applying for, as I told you before, like London College of Fashion,
yeah.
But I did get through the course, but I was unfortunately not able to join for some reasons, for my master's actually.
Right, okay.
So that project, actually, I just shared a hint of that project with my brother, that this is what I had, you know, done as a project, and this is what I was thinking to kind of maybe explore as an option.
Right.
And because, like, you know, in India, it is we still have a very joint family kind of culture.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
My brother, because he was serving in the forces, he was never supposed to be home because, you know, he has to serve the nation on the borders.
Yeah, yeah.
And the designated areas like that. So I just always wanted to kind of be around my family and,
yeah,
the place where I come from, the NCR, the National Capital Region around Delhi. So it was very important for me to kind of look out for opportunities of what best can I do with my career.
Yeah.
Living with my parents like that.
Yeah, of course.
So at that point, when I had like, you can say, like exhausted all the options of looking at what best can we do, is when I was discussing with my brother and we came up with, okay, fine, why don't you just give it a shot and see what you can do with this? Yeah. You know, you take a year off work, try experimenting with whatever you have in mind, and then let's see, we just go with the flow, however it is, and I'll be there with you any which ways to support you.
Wow, that's nice.
So I was like, okay, fine, why? And that is when I thought, okay, why not take this plunge? And so that is how I would say that right now we are in December. I still remember this is a 22nd of November conversation back in 2018. So I messaged my boss at that point, Mr. Rohit Bal, that, okay, I would not be able to, you know,
yeah.
And this is, I was very open with him. So I was very clearly able to kind of communicate my feelings. And he also understood that maybe, you know, that, okay, if he wants to do something, do it. He gave me all the confidence. He gave me his blessings. And that is when, like, so January 2019 is when we formally took up a small 300 square feet space in Noida.
Yeah.
And the machine started, like, kind of exploring. And that is when I started, you know, for the first time ever, started to come to an office, an empty office, where I was used to kind of go to a factory of 400 people. I entered my small studio and I was like, okay, now here I am all by myself and let's see what is in store, like that. So I spent good 10, 15, 20 days to kind of just explore, you know, the collections I wanted to work on or the themes. I had some plans in mind with Country Made. wherein I wanted to kind of explore the, you know, the pre-Vedic culture, and I wanted to kind of explore a lot of untold stories from this ancient land.
Yeah.
And that is where my research was going forward in this direction. But unfortunately, on 1st of Feb, I actually hired my first employee. You know, he's still with me as a master now.
Yeah.
He cuts patterns these days for me. So 1st of Feb, 10 a.m., I hired him. And around 12:30, I got a news that I had lost my brother in a plane crash.
No.
And like the entire world came crashing. So for me, and I had no idea what to do. You know, I was completely blank. I was numb for a good 15-20 minutes. And you know, in front of my eyes, I can still imagine and still recreate that moment wherein that master is working on an ochre color shirt. He's still stitching it, and he's looking at my face, and he's like, he's not getting any reaction from me. And you know, I just had to kind of tell him that, is it possible if you can join the company that you've just left yesterday? Yeah. And I didn't tell him any reason. I didn't give him anything. And I just asked him as that there's something that has gone wrong and I might not be able to carry forward right now. So he also, because in India, what happens is, you know, because most of the times everyone's in need of work, right? So, you know, it is not very difficult for them to be placed again as tailors.
Yeah.
So he obliged. He's like, oh, yes, let me just go back and talk to the manager there. And I shut the company for the next, that small 300 square feet space. I had to shut that place for the next 2 to 3 months to kind of, you know, get my family together because as I said, you know, I had started this brand for my brother because he asked me to do it. And he's like, I'm there with you. And the day I hire my first kariger, and you know, I just, it all comes crashing like that. So this was the beginning of Country Made, actually. And when I came back like 2-3 months prior, when I like got the urge to kind of, you know, now because it was getting very taxing for me also to be at home, you know.
Yeah, of course. I understand that.
It kind of was like the most, I would say, difficult phase of my life.
Yeah.
If I have to put it like that. But it was also the phase that gave me a lot of strength from within.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, I started just writing few things for him, like, because, you know, there was a lot of anger also. I wouldn't like kind of name any authorities or something like that, but I still believe that, you know, there were people to blame for it, whatever happened, whatever went wrong. But that's how it works in India, like that, right? And so, and plus, when it's an accident, you don't really kind of can't put on fingers without any proofs.
Yeah,
that's how it is. So yeah. I just started writing, yeah, because, you know, I actually felt that was the only medium wherein I could probably connect to him again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as it is said that the words are very powerful.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm just writing it for myself, but maybe somewhere it is reaching him like that. And that is how what happened was, as I told you. So while I was telling about how I wanted to kind of create stories from the ancient past.
Yeah.
Nothing made sense to me again. When I came back to my workplace, whatever I was working on, it was just not adding up. And I was not able to find a purpose or a reason for me to continue doing that.
Wow.
And that is where I realized that, okay, so I had written a very small piece for him, which was called Beyond the Clouds. So what happens is when you lose someone very precious in your life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And people around you would always tell you that, look up there, you know, he's up in the sky, or he's become a star, or, you know, so these are very common analogies that are given in at least the Indian context like that, right?
Yeah.
So taking on to the same thing, I kind of penned down a poem for him and named it Beyond the Clouds. And that is where I started, I thought, why not convert the words of proses or the phrases from all the lines from the poem into something tangible, right? Because it's very difficult to kind of convert now your emotions into, and that is where I kind of hired again, you know, a small team. I got a tailor, then I got an embroider, a hand embroider, and I had some thoughts in my mind. I thought, okay, let me just try making something out of it, okay? And I started doing some embroidery swatches. I just started my swatching with a humble anchor thread and a black fabric, because honestly, as I was telling you before about an Orca shirt being made, I had a very playful collection in the pipeline. I was working with a lot of colors, and suddenly I thought that colors were not interesting at all. You know, I was not getting inclined to anything other than black, for that matter. And because I had a moment wherein I felt very sharp contrasts within me of life. And that is where I started playing around on a black base with white thread, white as in an off-white cotton threads, the anchor thread. And that is where we started making and embroidering certain different elements. We tried to explore a lot of different variations of a kantha stitch that comes from the Bengal region in India.
Yeah.
We started developing a lot of things which are not exactly extraterrestrial, but which kind of makes you or reminds you of things beyond the clouds.
Yeah.
Be it the phases of the moon, be it the star, be it a lot of other smaller elements, be it the clouds. And while we were embroidering them in a different meaning or a different purpose, we were trying to find purposes and meaning behind each and every stitch that we were adding to the fabric. And that is how we ended up, you know, completely making a first collection, dedicating it to him.
Wow.
And each and every line of that poem came out as a piece of a collection like that. And that is how our journey started in the business of fashion, truly.
Wow. That is an amazing story, though. That is one sad and amazing story at the same time.
If I may continue from there, I'll tell you what happened after that was. So we did a small shoot. I sent my entry in India. Like, we have the British Fashion Council, young designers outside of India, in London. We have a similar concept here. You have two different fashion bodies in India before the FDCI, that's the Fashion Design Council of India. So they organized an event, a program called Young Guns. So I applied for the program, wherein I was, if selected, would have been granted a free show. And fortunate enough that we were able to kind of crack that with our collection, Beyond the Clouds. And that is when I showcased for the first time at the India Fashion Week in October 2019.
Wow.
So right after that collection, I was always, you know, looking out for opportunities for retail, wherein we were able to kind of crack two stores in India itself at that point. I was not very well versed with the, because I had not really worked with the, you know, international stores before.
Yeah.
So I had no clue as to how to crack that market. So we thought that why not first cement your position well in the market where you come from. You know, because it is very important to kind of, and also at the same time, I wanted to really strengthen the roots of the brand, lay a strong foundation, upskill a lot of carriers, and make a strong team on the basis of which I can, you know, look or think beyond India like that.
Yeah.
So we kind of spent a good amount of time, like months and months in for that process. But at the same time, we got another opportunity to, there was another design competition, which I won in between October and December. And there's another very strange incident that happened. So it was December in 2019, and there was this design competition called the Showcase, and I won it alongside two other designers.
Right.
And we were all three of us supposed to be showcasing, like doing a solo shows in the month of Feb in three different cities in India.
Wow.
Now imagine, there were three different dates in February, but what I got on the stage and impromptu was 1st of Feb 2020. And that would have marked the first death anniversary of my brother.
Oh my God.
So that's something completely shook me. And I was like, what is this happening? You know, and I was just connecting the dots from there. And I was like, are you doing it for me? Or, you know, I really felt that energy of him around me, around the brand. And I think that since then, he's become the integral, and he's been the integral part of my thought process, whatever I do. Because I felt that, you know, I can't take him out of this universe that I'm building right now. Because, you know, I think everything's belonging to him, and he's being, you know, steering, you can say, me in a certain direction where the brand was landing into with all the right opportunities at that point.
So
I did my first solo show on his first death anniversary like that in Hyderabad, the city from which he became the pilot.
Wow, I'm totally, I'm speechless. I'm just really...
So
really
since then, like again, so, but the story was also like, it's not always very rosy, or it's not always very positive. Again, the entire world was hit with pandemic right after our show.
Yeah.
We showcased in Feb, and March everything got shut. You know, so that was again like the second low that we saw as a brand. And within 6 months of a lot of seeing a lot of highs, everything again suddenly came crashing for us.
Yeah.
In March 2020, when everything got shut down, there was lockdown everywhere, and it was again about survival. The entire studio went into survival mode. Luckily, we were a small team. We were still a team of 8 people. I was able to kind of sustain them. The council in India, the FDCI, also helped us with some funds to kind of not let the karigars go, and they also financially supported us to kind of provide to them, their salaries, because directly these 8 families were dependent on us, right?
Yeah, of course.
Even though 8 is a very small number, but at the same time, with their confidence, with their assistance, we were able to kind of sustain, because the thing is, it is very difficult, you know. When you are starting from scratch, and you're building one team member at a time, you know how difficult it gets.
Yes.
And to kind of let go of everyone at the same time. And plus, they are the ones who are making you what you are. You know, you are just going and you're just the face of the brand.
Yeah.
But these are the people who are building for you, who are making things for you, making these beautiful clothes.
100%.
Day in and out.
100%. They're the ones who are making the brand.
You
could be the designer, you could be the one who's creating it, but those people behind you who are making it possible are the ones who are making the brand.
So this is what I feel is very special about this country, you know. And being a designer in India is actually very special like this, because you are meeting people from all walks of life.
Yeah.
You have the liberty to develop talent. You have the ability here to upskill people. And, it kind of gives you another level of satisfaction that you're able to kind of generate employment upfront. Yeah.
Wow. That's like, with all of this was going on, right? I can imagine what you're going through. You know, the ups and downs and ups and downs. And even with your creativity, it's like, it's the same thing when my father passed away, and, life just became so different in a sense that I actually stopped menswear, because I was so, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to, I literally stopped menswear. I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do anything like that. And it was hard, it was really, really hard. And he knew how much menswear meant to me, because he always said, it's in her blood. No one can take menswear away from her. And I just stopped I was so, so, so hurt. The pain was just incredible pain, it got to a point where
I can totally relate to it. Yeah.
When you love something so, when you love someone so much, and my father was like God to me, right? And when he passed away, it was like the end of everything for me. And menswear became end for me as well. It was very hard, very hard to go back into it. And I remember somebody gave me this book, and it was the verses of Bhagavad Gita, right? And they could see what was happening to me and what I was doing, because I was literally, and this is the first time I'm ever saying this on the podcast or to anyone, I went into a mode where I didn't want to do menswear ever again, ever, ever, ever again. I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to do any of it. I just couldn't care less. I just stopped. I just stopped, fully stopped, and I just thought, not interested. And I don't think even once I even looked into menswear. And it's a colleague of mine, and I wasn't even working in menswear that time, and because I gave it all up. And they gave me the book, and he gave me the book with Gita, right, which is the verses, the penguin version of about life. Shashan, believe it or not, I read it. I wasn't willing to read it, but I read it, and it literally helped me back. Literally helped me back. And it was something
More power to you.
But when I started to read, I was crying my eyes out when I was reading I hardly read any book anyway, right? Because I find it sometimes it's very hard to read. But that book I read, and I was crying my eyes out at the same time and as I was reading it. And that's how I went back into menswear again. And it was a very long journey.
Yeah,
it was,
and here
was,
you are.
And yeah, here I am. And it was hard to go back because I knew how much I loved it, but at the same time, I loved my father so much. And I just, and I can relate to your story 100%, how hurt you feel, how angry you feel as well. And you know what? And when somebody tells you time will heal, you just want to punch them out.
I nearly wanted to punch them out
when they kept on saying that to me. But it was hard. And I relate to your story 100% because going back into creative world sometimes, it's hard. And when you do go back into it, you're a total different person. You're a total different person. You're not the same person.
But at the same time, you come back even stronger.
Yeah, 100%.
So you've got to believe 100%. That this is your best version at this point.
100%. And you know, the thing when you said about the clouds and the stars, and I remember on the day my father passed away, the anniversary of the day my father passed away, and I looked up, this is an amazing story, I looked up on the in the sky and I said, Dad, if you're up there, give me a sign. And a shooting comet went by.
Just imagine. It's on manifestation.
Shooting comet went by on the same time the day he passed away. And that was the his anniversary. And I just looked up in the sky, and I'm saying this for the first time ever on the podcast. I know I should be talking about menswear, but this is a part of the journey of menswear for some of us.
Yeah.
And I looked up in the sky and I just said, if you're up there, Dad, just give me a sign, please. And I was like, really like wanting to see, you know, when you get to a point where you want to see them once more. And suddenly the shooting, actually a comet went by, and I took a picture of the comet, and it went by at the same time the day of my father passed away. So that was something to tell me that my father is actually looking at me and helping me with my menswear.
For sure, it's exactly the same emotion. I can so relate to this. Yeah, it's exactly the same emotion that I wanted to kind of. But I'll send you the verses of those lines later on.
Okay, I'll tell you more after the podcast.
For sure.
So, at the moment, with your collection and with your menswear, how are you? How is it going all now at the moment? Because you're still trying. Are you still trying to get into the international market, or how is it?
Yes and no. So the thing is, we've actually been able to kind of crack two stores as of now internationally. We've been like traveling to Paris. Every six months, Jan and June.
Yeah.
So this January again, next month, I'm traveling to Paris. I'm doing the regular trade show that I always do, Trinoy.
Yeah.
So we have been, the platform has been very supportive of us. And hopefully, because it will be our third outing with them, we might be able to kind of, woo a little more buyers, because I think at this point for them also, it'll be like seeing us again for the third time, it might even boost their confidence that the brand is coming up with a new collection every 6 months and is consistent with his outings like that.
Right.
So we are going with a very positive mind frame. At the same time, for the first time, I'm adding Piti Yomo to the calendar.
Oh, wow.
So I was fortunate enough to get through that. And I was trying for the last two seasons, but because, we really didn't have any international outing to kind of prove it to them that, yes, we are there ready to sell. But now that we have some stores, at least, who are retailing us, we were able to crack through in Piti Yomo. So we are really excited about that outing. So that'll be a first. And I'm a bit nervous right now because being with all the peacocks around and being with all the buyers and the trade floor and the magnitude of that platform in itself is a little too overwhelming, for which I personally felt maybe I was not ready back then. But this January, I'm going with a lot of confidence, with a strong collection. We are working on our ninth collection actually right now as we speak. And the sampling is going on in full swing. So I'm like quite positive with my past experiences of the three outings that I've had before.
Yeah.
I think we would be able to kind of put the right product out there for the market.
with the market in India with menswear? Because at the moment, I feel like menswear in India is growing big and quite fast. Is it
Exactly.
true?
Totally agreed.
Yeah, I thought so. And it's because at the moment, I see it everywhere that menswear in India is becoming much more, not as big as women's wear, or should I say near enough the same?
So you're right. It's not exactly the same. It's the women's wear market is still, I would say, dominates the 80% of the business. But at the same time, as I said before, men are getting more and more aware.
Yeah.
They are getting more and more personalized with their choices. They are they're not being driven anymore by the choices of people around them. They have a lot of individualistic approach, and they are willing to experiment.
Right.
And with travel, what has also happened is that they are also looking at a lot of what's happening in the homegrown market, because, you know, they've traveled the world, they've seen all the brands abroad. For some, it is a status symbol to buy international brands, but at the same time, it is very important to also understand that each and every country also has their own homegrown set of designers who are trying to kind of push boundaries, who are trying to kind of, you know, offer something which is more unique, more attuned to their taste. Like that.
So
I think we are also seeing that growing interest in the brand. If I may speak from my 4 years of journey for Countrymade, we've definitely seen a lot of interest, because in India, designer category is more attuned towards the ethnic segment, wherein in India, you know, it's all about weddings, like that. You know, is where people shell out most of the money, and they don't really end up they're not really looking out there for, you know, elevated classics for that matter, or they're not really investing in their everyday clothing much. And when I speak about occasion wear clothing, that is not where we tick all the right boxes for them.
Right.
But at the same time, when there are people who are looking out for something different, who are looking out to experiment, who are looking out to kind of express themselves differently, even for an occasion, you know, they are now preferring our jackets. They are willing to experiment. They're willing to kind of take on things, even we also try and kind of accommodate some of their requests to kind of, you know, find the right balance. But at the same time, I think, you know, we are trying to, you know, cut the nut here as well.
So let me ask you this way. Are you getting a lot of support, though, as a young generation of newcomers? Are you guys getting quite a lot of support in the way, you know, because you're going abroad and all that stuff? The fashion houses, the fashion council over there, do they support brands like yourselves?
So I would say that I've been lucky enough to be able to kind of get a lot of support from the fashion council in India.
Yeah.
To showcase in India, like as of now, I've been able to showcase in India with them.
Yeah.
And recently as well, like for the SS24 season, I was selected as a part of, I got a sponsored show, like again, a solo slot to kind of showcase at the official calendar of India Fashion Week. And this was my first solo show with 30 looks in one go. So that was very overwhelming. But at the same time, I'm very thankful to the council for this support.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the international market, I think there is a slight disconnect right now, because at the same time, you know, there are a lot of international buyers that come for the Indian Fashion Week as well.
Right.
You know, and their focus right now is there. But as we spoke a bit earlier, that 80 to 90% market is women's wear dominated.
Yeah.
So as men's wear designers, we kind of lose out on the opportunity of the buyers that we meet in India.
Yeah. So they go for the
because we are not the right fit for them, like that.
Right. Okay. And the, and it's probably the right men's wear buyers aren't coming out to India.
That's the challenge, because I don't even blame council for this, because
no.
When you really don't have too much on the plate to offer, the buyers also would not flock in. You know, that's the thing. So buyers will also not come just to see one or two brands.
Yeah.
The game thing, because in the entire calendar, you just have 3 to 5, like handful of menswear brands in India like that.
So with the,
that's the catch.
With the audience in India, I mean, is it more like the guys are actually starting to wear what you guys are producing? Or is it more like the international market? Or is it international men who are wearing what you guys are producing?
So with the advent and venturing into the e-commerce, I think we've been able to kind of capture the global audience. So we do get a lot of orders from the North American market. We do get a lot of orders from the Southeast Asian market, and some definitely from the British market for sure. Europe as a whole has not, we've not been able to kind of, get a lot of traffic on our website from that region for some reasons unknown to me like that. But definitely there is a fine balance between getting the right eyeballs from all across the globe, including India. Like India is definitely a predominantly the biggest market, but at the same time, we're getting good traction from North America, from Canada, from London, from Singapore. So these are our key countries as and key areas of business. And we've ventured with a store in Japan. So I'm hopeful from next season, we might even see some traffic coming in from there as well.
Fantastic. Because I was just about to say, what about Japan? And you just said it.
Yeah, so that's the first store that we cracked internationally, actually.
That's brilliant. That is
And
actually
at the
brilliant.
same time, we are also seeing a lot of interest in the Korean market. So I'm just getting this feeling from my very personal experience. I'm seeing like Korea emerging as the new Japan somehow, because we've seen so many Korean buyers coming into trade shows, walking into trade shows with big teams, and they're really, really kind of we've had some really good conversations last season. I'm hopeful that we can convert in January again if we meet them, if we get a chance to meet them. So I think Japan, Korea are our strongest markets, and at the same time, even the Middle East is emerging as a very strong market for menswear. Like when we're seeing a lot of like Dubai has become like the world's capital. At the same time, a lot of cities around Dubai are emerging as very strong markets, wherein I've seen a lot of buyers coming in. We've seen a lot of interest in the menswear market, especially because there is a lot of expat working in those countries like that. So the demand and supply and is bound to boom there as well.
So in India, right, at the moment, does a lot of people want to be a fashion, a menswear designer or a womenswear designer? Is it?
See, I would not want to like kind of maybe not make a very straight point out of it, but what I've seen is a lot of designers who start even as menswear end up doing womenswear eventually, because that's where the business lies, that's where the money lies eventually. If I don't want to take anything away from anyone, and I'm not saying that I at this point as we speak I'm only doing menswear, but as you say never, but right now I don't have any plans to venture into womenswear, but this is what the general scenario has been like that. Also, you can put it across like that, the lines are being blurred, and the fashion is also moving towards androgynous and gender neutral clothing. So we have a lot of brands who are catering to the all sections of the society like that.
So finding
But
these
yeah.
Shoshan, finding these the artisans, the craftsmen, was it difficult to find people to work? Like,
Very difficult.
it was it?
Very difficult. It's very difficult. But also at the same time, what it's like, finding that first right guy in the department that you are
Want
working
to,
in, right?
yeah.
I'm talking about people that I hire in-house. So if I had one good guy, you got to upskill him. He'll make sure, because if he likes you as a person, if he likes the work environment that you're giving to them, if he likes the overall environment, he ends up getting his friends, his family, people, joining in the company as and when you need people like that. So this is how I have built my team. So one good embroider, upskilled him, asked him, I need more people like you. He gets the people. That's how it happens in India like that. But it's very difficult to kind of retain them also, because as I said, it is a competitive market, and the place we have worked with, it's all about because the labor laws are not very strict in India. There are a lot of things that go haywire also. So at that point, this is where I feel like we kind of have an upper hand, is because we you just need there's a lot of talk about sustainability. There's a lot of talk about a lot of conscious things in fashion. I feel that the most sustainable thing for a brand should be to sustain their people, right, and to you know, to be able to kind of give them good work environment, clean workspace, good water to drink, good lighting, give them salaries on time, give them hikes on time.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the kind of things that I think makes you a more sustainable brand than to kind
100%.
Of just promoting or screaming it online that, oh, we are a sustainable brand, but at the same time, your clothes are being made in a sweatshop.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know what? You can't treat people. It makes you so sick and angry at the same time that, you know, how can you treat people like this? I just don't. It's like 2023. Yeah. Come on. I mean, you shouldn't be treating anyone like this anyway, whatever year it is and whatever century we're in. It's like it just gets to a point where you just think, that, you know, how much? It's like saying, well, you're not going to take all this with you, are you? When you die.
Exactly. So you have to sum up your question. If you treat them well, it is easy to get them.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to retain, obviously, because there's a lot of poaching happens in this business as well. You know, because you train a karigar, you train a craftsman in certain things, and then obviously there are a lot of people around. There are a lot of production managers looking at those same karigars. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, he's worked in country made. He knows their techniques. He knows a lot of insights. Okay, poach him with a higher salary. So these kind of, you know, nitty gritty, this, all this happens everywhere. But at the same time, just it's easy to kind of just be good to them and they'll be good to you. As simple as that.
So what's your next phrase with your brand? I mean, I know you're going to Chennai to Pitti. And what will you do with the collection, with the brand next year in 2024?
So we've got some very interesting things lined up for the brand.
Okay.
First is we are venturing into leather.
Oh, okay.
So because, you know, as a brand, we use a lot of denim. We use a lot of heavyweight fabrics. We use a lot of cotton twills.
Yeah.
We use a lot of linens, hemp. At the same time, I felt that leather was a very natural transition for us to kind of also accommodate into clothing. So what started as a clothing has also resulted in us, like in our October showcase as well. We've added some of the leather accessories on the ramp, which would soon be available from next year to shop online on our website as well. So I think for us, it was very important to also, because we are a made-to-order brand primarily, you know, we don't stock and we don't overstock at all. So whatever you see on our website, it is all shoppable. It will always be available. Nothing will go ever out of stock because we only work on RFD fabrics, right? We work on ready for dyeing fabrics, and we can produce anything because the prints are our own, the embroideries are our own, the texturings that we do, it's all in-house, right? So we control each and every supply chain. So we would never go out of any fabric for that matter, like that, you know? So at the same time, I wanted to kind of add categories which I can maybe, you know, produce in small batch, small quantities, and start selling upfront in terms of, because we take, like, as you may call it like slow fashion, but we do take 2 to 3 weeks to kind of make one product,
right? Okay.
You know, on order basis.
Yeah.
So I wanted to kind of also get into and explore the accessories market around it, because it is all about, as I said, either I venture into something which is more categories in clothing. That's one option. The other option for me was to, if I just want to stick to menswear, I wanted to add things more into the ecosystem of men.
Wow.
Wherein I thought that, you know, bags would be a nice idea.
Yeah.
At the same time, we're also working on something very interesting, which I'm actually carrying to Pitti, is stoneware. So what we've done is we've developed the buttons in stone clay.
Wow.
So like how your pottery is made. So this time around, what we've done is we've made the buttons in, so the sampling is still on as we speak. The buttons are going into firing. So, you know, the way it is fired, like the way ceramics are fired
for
the tableware.
Yeah.
So you can imagine miniature tableware in forms of buttons.
Wow.
So because I was always, you know, very intrigued with the concrete, very intrigued with cement, and you know, I wanted to really experiment and see how can I get those textures, and what better medium to just go to that same material, you know, going back to the roots. So that is where we are developing a range of buttons for the brand now, which will be our own.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I've not actually seen it that way, you know. Wow, that's amazing. I can't wait to see this. Now you must send me a picture of it, please.
I'll definitely do it.
You have to send me a picture, because
we'll be taking it out of the kiln.
It's just remarkable. I'm speechless, actually, because it's quite exciting.
Every collection that we do, we only, as I said, because what happens with us is, you know, we just don't introduce things for the sake of it.
Right. Okay,
if it fits the bill, we use it. That is the reason, you know, at times I am not restricted by any terminology for the brand that, okay, we stick to this aesthetic.
Yeah.
Every season, you know, I sit on a topic that I want to explore, a collection that I want to do. You know, we work on it, and we work on it so extensively that 2-3 months of research ends up into something like this. Because how leather also came up was when we were working on a collection, No Man's Land.
Yeah.
So that collection was talking about a lot of travel. It was talking about, again, so whatever happens in this, by now, you must have realized that whatever we do has a lot of energy of my brother.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the energy also comes from the armed forces. He was a part of.
Right. So that's
and doing what he lost his life also.
Okay.
So, you know, this also every collection, we are also giving a tribute to
the army,
the armed forces, in a way that we think from the psychology of a soldier. Right.
Yeah.
So while I was working on this collection, No Man's Land, the feeling was that, so imagine being a soldier in that position, your government's asking you to go bombard that place, make a hell of it, only to own that land later on. You've just destroyed everything, right?
Yeah.
You just killed people who are a collateral damage for your political gains. And with this was the spirit of this collection of No Man's Land, wherein each and every piece spoke of it in some way or the other. You know, be it the destroyed lands, be it the scratching of the surfaces. So we did a lot of different things. And at that point, we developed the bags that we developed from that collection came as like a water bottle bag in leather. Like, again, so it comes from the vintage, the World War times.
Yeah.
Wherein
the
military men used to carry
a
leather, you know, carry a case for the bottles to keep.
Yeah.
So we developed a bag out of that. Then we developed crossbody bags in the shape of a jerry can. Jerry can is those gasoline big jars. So we use the symbolism of that to put on the bags like that. So, you know, that is how we kind of connect all the stories. Now, the next collection that we're working on is, I've not really coined the term for it, but it's on excavation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over here, the journey is like a person who's like lost everything in life, goes back to his native place from where he was exoded.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And now he's going to his old house, maybe 50 years down the line, you know, he's going back. And over there, he's seeing things of his home converting into fossils. So we're calling them modern fossils, you know, we're trying to call them very industrialized. And that is where the pottery came in. You know, when we thought that, okay, fine, if I go and visit my house 50 years down the line, what will I find there? I might find, you know, some of my drawings on the walls that I did with my brother. You know, or maybe I see the morning breakfast table where my family used to sit together, the chairs on which I used to sit, the plates on which I used to eat, you know. So we are trying to capture all that essence in this collection, wherein those plates have become buttons, wherein those chairs are becoming appliques on denim jackets.
Yeah.
So you know, this is how we're trying to explore the entire collection. And that is where, you know, while we are so immersed in the process of making a collection is when we are able to kind of explore newer dimensions, which might be, you know, a new extension to the brand. And that is how we've added like pottery in this case.
Wow. So the whole brand, right? And your story and your passion for menswear has been a massive, it's like a story. And it's like
every collection is a story. Every collection is a story for sure. Yeah.
And it's like a journey throughout, from your first journey to your, you know, as you carry on with it. I'd just like to say that it's a remarkable story. And I didn't know that, you know, the brand had such a huge emotional story as well, linked to it.
That is where we lack. That is what I would say is the weakness of the brand, that maybe our storytelling on visual media is not very strong. Earlier, I would say that I was... I just wanted to take you around because 4 p.m. Now they're just leaving in 5 minutes.
Right. I'm going to... this is the last bit now of the interview. So with this story, with the brand story and yourself and everything, it's one of the most remarkable stories I've heard in menswear. At for this podcast, I've not heard such emotional at the same time, but creative at the same time. You know, it's beyond words to say what this brand is all about. You know, it's one of the most special brands that I've come across in menswear. Emotionally,
means
it's what you've just shown me. I mean, I just have to say that Shashan has just showed me some of the pieces that he's been developing. And the brand, you know, for the collection and all that stuff, and what every piece means. And I don't think I've seen things like this in menswear ever since I've been doing this podcast. So I just feel like, I don't know, I'm quite speechless with your brand. Remarkable brand.
Thank you so much. Means
it's very, remarkable.
So we're always seeking validation. Like, again, external validation is very important. Like, because at the same time, you know, we are working our rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And as I told you earlier, we are not very strong with our visual language. We're not very strong as, we're not a very big team, honestly. What you saw out there were all like craftsmen in their own right. But when it comes to the executive team, we've got a very small team, which, you know, I've got like two assistants with me working day in and out to kind of make things happen. And while we are so immersed in the process, we at times are not able to well document as to, you know, how it should be presented like that. So again, so we are also learning the ropes because we are not, I would say, you know, considering or doing this as a proper business, because, you know, there's a lot of emotion attached to each and everything that we do here.
Yeah,
at times those emotions don't translate into, you know, visual stories for that matter, because as I said, I'm not very Instagram friendly any which ways, and you would not see us posting every day. We are not very, I would say, because, you know, I personally feel that for us, it is very important to kind of, because here I'm doing something for my brother. Like, if I just may put it very upfront, very straightforward like that. So I'm trying to help build a legacy for him also like that, you know. He has his own legacy, but at the same time, I want this brand to be remembered for him as well. And so for that reason, it becomes very difficult for me to kind of keep things in sync or in trend with what's happening or how things should be portrayed in the Instagram real world.
Yeah.
You know, because I want my existence or the brand's existence to be still there and be still relevant to the people who understand quality, who understand our vision beyond social media.
Yeah. And I think you've got that very well done. Very well done, Shashan. I have to say, every part of your journey to your, you know, in making the fabrics, in making the actual designs, embroidery, print, whichever way you take it, it's been quite a very emotional journey. And I totally understand it. I totally get it. And I don't blame you for not showing it. You know, visually, you can't actually show this kind of visually. You have to feel it, I think. I'm quite speechless.
And thank you for the opportunity for me to express it. Like, I've not been very vocal about it always, but thank you for making me so comfortable to come out of it and to speak with you freely.
Absolutely, my honor. I mean, it's an absolute honor to have you on the podcast. I can't... Some of the stories that you've come up with and some of the things that you've said, I mean, I can relate to it. And it's been an absolute honor, Shashan, having you on the podcast. I can't wait to see the next collection because it's one of the brands that I think is going to be very huge. Your menswear will be huge.
With all your good wishes and blessings.
I think your brother's doing it all. I think he's doing it all anyway.
Definitely.
I think he's doing it
all. There's no two ways about it.
You know, yeah, I think he's just showing the light and showing the way to do it. And I do actually thank you so much, Shashan, for sharing the story. And absolutely love the story. And I wish you all the very best for the brand. Because I think it's one of the brands that will shine so much in the very near future. Very, very near future.
I'm not very comfortable taking, you know, these, you know, such you've been so positive. I've been getting such positive vibrations and you can say such confidence, because as I said, you know, while you're working alone, you you don't know where you're headed to, right? Yeah. Because at a lot of times we want an external overview over things that, because, you know, at times you are always, as a designer, I think we're always judging ourselves.
Yeah,
so,
100%.
Are we on the right track? Is this right? Is this... So again, so for us, for me personally, it is never about, is it going to sell? That is obviously the most important question. But at the same time, for me, it is like, is this design speaking to me? Or, you know, is it reflecting the vision? Or is it coming across as to how I want it to be? Like, for example, as you spoke about Bhagavad Gita, and while reading, you had tears in your eyes. Because I feel whatever we create or whatever we hear around us, you know, that needs to kind of, it acts as a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, for me, each and every product that I create is a mirror from mirror of me only, a mirror image. You know, when I look at it, I need to see my reflection. I need to see, am I being true to myself?
Yeah.
Is this right? Is this hitting the right notes? Is this something that I wanted to convey? And is it being conveyed well? You know, again, so at times a lot of my friends make a lot of joke about it, that till the time you don't explain, we don't understand what you're making. But I'm always like, see, at the end of the day, a design can be a good design or a bad design, or again, it is very, very individual in approach, as to you might like it, you hate it, or you might hate it, right?
Yeah.
But for us, as creators, it is very important for us to be very satisfied and, you know, to be very in sync with what we are doing.
Yeah.
And to get the confidence out there, because if I am confident of what I am creating, I'll be able to, you know, speak confidently about it 100%. And be more very I can at least like present it in a way wherein, you know, it connects with the person.
Yeah. I mean, we are the worst salespeople, though, I must admit, designers, creative.
Yeah. Lot.
We can't sell. I mean, I'm one of those people who will not be able to sell anything. I probably buy it myself and say, I've sold it.
Yeah.
I'm one of the worst salesperson. But at the same time, I think being creative, when you have a journey such as like yours, when I gave up menswear with my journey, and you know, as I was saying, when I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, the verses of the Bhagavad Gita on the Penguin Classic, I think that just brought everything back to me, and it was tears because of you know, losing my father, losing menswear, not being focused on anything, just being hurt all the time, and very. You know, that time I realized who my close friends were, and they were very close, and they kept on going, and they kept on staying behind me, and, you know, making sure. And that's when you realize, you know, that you never lose what you have, because they will always be with you.
That's true. That's true. So well said.
They will always be with you. And that's what made me realize that even though I lost my father, even though you lost your brother, they're still with us somehow. And
that's what keeps us going
and keeps us, you know, makes you carry on. And that is something that you have to realize. And sometimes with creativity and all that, you know, designing, it is hard. It's hard work. And I've had it really tough as well myself. But at the same time, the strength is, you know, you suddenly build this strength and you carry on. And I wish you all the very best, Shashant. I think you're going to do amazingly well. I think you are going to do amazingly well. So everyone,
thank you so much.
Have a look at his brand, because every part of his brand has a story. Every part of his clothing has a story. Just even the parts of details has a story. And that's what menswear is all about. Details, stories. And that's what I feel that I'm always in love with, menswear. Thank you, Shashant.
Thank you, Sharmila. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.